The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Owen O'Malley, Associate Professor of Politics at DCU. We'll talk about City West in a minute. But this has been talked about for a long time. Do you think it'll ever happen that we'll let people abroad vote if they're citizens?
I don't think it would be a great idea. I mean, as you said, a lot of other countries do it. So, you know, we've seen queues for Brazilians and Poles outside their embassies doing it. I think the big difference with Ireland is, well, one, we've got a huge immigrant population.
We probably have one of the biggest diaspora anyway.
Yeah, and we give out our passports fairly freely. So there are a lot of, you know, there are a huge number of passport holders. There are a lot more Irish passport holders than there are people who live on the island. And so that would be, you'd kind of lose control of the whole
thing. It would skew the results somewhat.
It would be completely different sort of result. It would also cost a fortune because you would have to facilitate all these people.
And of course, we'd have to stick to the stupid little pencils as they were once described by a former Taoiseach as well.
Or the wise little pencils. I would have thought that for Sinn Féin, they want a united Ireland, and so they clearly want, and most of us do want, a president for all 32 counties or all parts of the island. And in a way, we kind of think that the president does represent all that. But if you're going to try and impose this now on the whole country without being part of a bigger agreement, I think it's probably not in the spirit of, say, the Good Friday Agreement, and it's sort of preempting things. And I think it would be better to try and figure out, how do we get unionists to want to come into United Ireland rather than how do we start to creep our way into doing it.
Might explain why it wasn't in the programme for government. But then again, neither in the programme for government was the state buying City West Hotel, which is something that is going ahead and is going to become the first state-owned international protection accommodation service for asylum seekers that is bespoke and not direct provision. I mean, it's big money here, Owen, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they'd argue that it looks like a good decision by the government because it's taking this into state control rather than doing it by handing huge amounts of money to private operators who are making huge amounts of profit from it. And so, I mean, there are good arguments to be made for why it should be brought back into the state. I think in many ways, though, a lot of the problem is just, and what I was writing about in the Sunday Independent last Sunday, was that this is a kind of monument to continuous policy failures for various reasons. And I suppose the last one, the most recent policy failure, is the way in which we are inviting in asylum seekers where everybody else in Europe is trying to kind of see how can we limit.
Yeah, how can we reduce the numbers coming in? One of the questions, I suppose, that I would ask on the back of this is we've bought the building.
Yeah.
Good for us. But now we have to staff the building. Now we have to feed the people in the building. So therefore, the bill doesn't magically disappear because we bought the building. And how much of that has been factored in?
Yeah, so whether it's unclear who's going to be managing the building, because I presume we're not going to have, you know, full-time public servants doing this, or maybe the government is thinking that they will have full-time public servants, but it hasn't said.
Yes, because we're well known for our catering facilities in the public service.
And so the likelihood is that it will be given out to some private contractor to run these things and to manage these things. And so it may not actually solve some of the problem. It'll probably reduce the rent bill over the long term, but it isn't going to get rid of the rent bill, and certainly it's not going to get rid of the costs of servicing these buildings.
But what it has done is it has created a capacity, one would argue. And is it not inevitable that that capacity is always going to be reached once it's there and being paid for?
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's still well below what the demand is of refugees or people seeking international protection. And so that is well above what can be accommodated at City West. I think City West takes about 2,500 people or so, whereas the government, I think its plan is to have 14,000 places in state-owned provision around the country.
Yeah, we had a promise to get rid of direct provision. It was a thing. And then we had the Ukrainian war. We've had other issues that have arisen since then that have resulted in more people trying to claim asylum here. I mean, is this an admission of failure? Is this an admission on the part of the state that we'd know where to put these people. Come on, buy a hotel there, and at least we'd have some part of a thing done.
Well, I suppose the state didn't anticipate the numbers that were going to come in.
Neither did anybody else. All the other countries at the same
time. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the other countries, it happened to them 10 years earlier. So it happened in 2015, 2016. We probably should have looked at how they were reacting, how the politics of it was going. And when you get countries like Denmark with liberal, social democratic governments in them, when they are really clamping down on allowing asylum seekers in because it's causing real problems within the society, that the social welfare system has become unsustainable, we probably should have made more of an effort. And I think part of the blame should go to the Green Party leader, who kind of issued an invitation in all languages. And I think they thought, oh, this is great. And then were shocked when, God, all these people start arriving.
Amazingly, they turned up. The other part of this that's kind of interesting is, didn't this particular building end up in Nama at one point? So we already owned it at one point, didn't we?
Well, we didn't actually own it, but we were the beneficial owners. So it never went through Nama, but Nama owned a lot of the debt.
So there would have been an opportunity, had we been prudent at that time, to maybe save
Nama
a few bucks.
Nama insisted on it being sold by the receiver at the time, who was the receiver for Jim Mansfield's debts. And Nama effectively had an interest in it, and so it was sold for about 30 million, and so we sold it low and are buying it expensive, yeah. Which is another problem.
Do we know the exact amount, how much we're paying it?
We're paying for about 148 million and we sold it, it was sold for about 29.
It originally had helipads, it had a swimming pool, it had a second hotel there as well, and it had a golf course. How the mighty have fallen that it has now been repurposed in this way. And I just can't get my head around how this is going to be run well. I mean, on behalf of the people who are going to be living there and everything else, at least when it was being run by a hotel operator, there was a hotel standard being put in place. I mean, this is going to be all those direct provision centres put on stilts, isn't it?
It's hard to tell. I mean, I suppose a lot depends on whether the government is willing to invest large amounts of money to kind of operate it and maintain the building, and whether people are going to want to live in those places for how long. I mean, it's meant to be that you're only staying there for a maximum of 16 weeks, but everybody knows with direct provision that those asylum decisions don't get made quickly. And even when they're made, they get appealed to the courts. And so lots of people have been living in direct provision for kind of 5 years or more. So it has to be a place where people could end up being there for the long haul.
Are there other hotel owners around the country, do you think, are looking at this going, cha-ching, the state is paying out for hotels?
I'm sure there are. I mean, well, you can already see that many hotel operators have decided, you know, why bother trying to keep this place open in a kind of cold winter's night when I can fill it today? And the prices, the amount of money that the state is offering are pretty generous. And so you make more money by putting it into direct provision or making it an IPAS centre than you will running it as a hotel.
It's definitely a different business model to what was originally planned for City West, I think it's fair to say. Ona Malley, Associate Professor of Politics at DCU, thanks very much for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.